ערב טוב, גודים לגבי, דשיו זה לעילוי נשמת.
שיינה בת.
אבו לב.
אבל לב. אבל לב. אוקיי. פרשת שבוע שמיני. Oh, very nice.
But they also had Parshat Parah at the same time.
Also this time also, you have Parshat Parah.
Yeah.
On Shabbos they're going to have Parah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro.
Amen.
No, Parah is what we have for special thing that you read, yes. Before the Rosh Chodesh of Rav Nissan. Okay. Vayhi bayom hashmini. The eighth day. What is the eighth day? So we're talking here about Chanukat HaMishkan. We're talking here about Moshe Rabbeinu giving the job to Aaron, and they starting working on the Mishkan, and they bring the sacrifices. In the beginning, the fire doesn't come, and Aaron comes out and says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Oh, why did you send me in? I'm wanted to blame because of the golden calf. I'm punished, and God didn't forgive." And Moshe says, no, no problem. They go in and they daven to God, and God sends the fire, and the fire comes and takes the sacrifice. And everybody is happy, and 2 minutes later, again a fire comes down, but this time it burns the two sons of Aaron because they go in and they bring something that God didn't ask to bring. So the eighth day was happy or was sad? It was also happy. It was also unfortunately sad because Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael, the Kol Bnei Yisrael yivku et ha-srefa hazot. Everybody has to cry about what happened to the two sons of Aaron. Were they saints? Were they criminals? What were they exactly? So some of our sages try and find out all those things, wrong things they do. They were not married, they didn't have children, they were drinking wine, etc., etc., etc. From the other side, other people are saying they were saints. They were unbelievable, so high that they couldn't stay in this world. And this is a very interesting point because Kodesh Moshe Rabbeinu, when he, the first time, Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself to him, he is covering his face because he doesn't want to look at the face of God. Mm-hmm. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had this option to look at the face of God. Then later on, when he's asking God, show me your face, God is telling him, no. You cannot see my face. Because one who sees my face cannot live. In other words, you had your opportunity, you missed it. And maybe this was something that was bothering the two sons of Aaron. It says, our uncle had the opportunity to see the face of God and didn't do it. We are not going to be like this. We are going to get closer to God. But the closest that you can get. But God said, Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Nobody can see me and live. And that's what happened. So we can explain it as a punishment. And we can also explain it as they got so close that there was no place for them to stay in this world. They had to go up. Because Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. In other words, there is a certain place where you can get, you cannot get beyond it. That's it. Finished. But one of the big lessons of all this episode is that some people think that they can go to shul, daven, bring the sacrifice, again go back home and do whatever they want to. It doesn't work like this. The whole idea of the sacrifice is that you are going to change your behavior. In other words, if you think you can bring a sacrifice and that's okay and you finished your job, you are mistaken. But the feeling is there. The Magid Midumra brings a very nice story about this. It says they built this city, which was an unbelievable town. Everything the best, the most sophisticated, everything computerized, even the environment, wires. You don't see any wires outside. Everything is underneath. And beautiful gardens, beautiful homes. All the best. The best earth. Schools, the best teachers, the best of the best. So before they're opening the town, all the people that build it are having a meeting. Suddenly, one of the guys cuts up and says, you know, we forgot something. He says, what did you forget? We got everything. We forgot to bring a doctor. We've got no doctor. Now, if somebody's going to be ill, sick, what are we going to do? He says, you're right. So they went and they looked for the best doctor they can find. They checked and they test and they did this. And then eventually they got the best doctor in the world to come to the town. And they did a grand opening. And everybody came. And everybody greeted this great doctor. And they wanted to test. We brought the best doctor. Let's show everybody how this best doctor works. They found somebody's got a headache. They brought him to the doctor. He took him personally to his home and treated him with all the medicine. And 2 days later, he died. All the people came to the doctor, says, what's happening here? We brought the best doctor in the world and somebody with a headache, you killed him. What's going on here? Is this a doc? The best doctor in the world? You know what the doctor answered them? He says, you see, I came here, I say, you were so happy and you were so like up in the air that I was afraid that now what's going to happen is you wouldn't care about what you eat, what you do. You wouldn't keep your health. You just do whatever you want. You eat whatever you want. You eat junk food. You eat this. And you think we get ill. It's no problem. We got the best doctor in the world. He's going to cure us. So it doesn't matter what we do. He says, I wanted to make sure that you understand that even if I'm the best doctor in the world, I'm still a human being. And I cannot cure everything. And if you start to neglect yourself and not caring about your health,
I can't help you.
So in order to make sure that you understand that you have to keep your health and look for yourself, and if something happens, of course, you get to the doctor. So I made sure you understand it from the first patient. It's a terrible story.
Yes.
But the lesson is very clear. God, that is Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron. Kodesh Baruch Hu told me, Bikrovai Akadesh. I'm going to sanctify the place with the closest to me. And I thought that it's me or you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron, his brother. But now, you see, it's your sons. So in other words, you have to be proud. Your sons are saints. They are so close to God that God sanctified the place with them. But what is the idea behind it? As we said, if people think that they can bring a sacrifice or do whatever they want to in the temple, they're mistaken. And in order to make sure that everybody understands it, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a lesson that was clear, that even the two sons of Aaron, which were tzaddikim, and what they did is they just brought fire. They brought a sacrifice to God. But God didn't tell them to do it. So even if there are saints, and even if they wanted to get closer to God, you cannot do what you want to do. And you have to understand that there is a law, the law of God, and you have to keep it. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the street cleaner, you can be a professor, you can be the chief rabbi, you can be Gdol Hador, whatever it is. What God says, that's what you do.
Like the two sons from Eli, no?
That was a different story.
Yeah,
they were saints.
The Shlach HaKadosh says, that there, two the two sons of Aaron were saints. Yeah. They were so holy that they got to a level which they couldn't stay in this world. In other words, he explains it in a whole different way. As I said, there are two ways to look at it. But those two ways are really a lesson to us. They were not married, they didn't have children. So it's to telling us, if you live in this world, you have to keep what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be a saint, you still have to get married and still have to bring children to the world. You can't just say, okay, I am a saint, so I don't need to do those things. In other words, the lesson is from both sides. That's one of the beautiful things when you say Shivim Panim LaTorah, that the Torah's got 70 ways to explain. Yes, but it doesn't mean that they are once against the other. They're all the explanation of the Torah, because the Torah is very deep. And here also we see this in this story with the sons of Aaron. It happens on the happiest day for Am Yisrael. It's like the fire comes down to show that the golden calf sin is okay now. God forgave. He forgives. Okay. And then suddenly, 2 minutes later, we see what's happening. So we can look at it and understand that, first of all, we are human beings. And it doesn't matter who you are and what we are. We have to keep what God tells us to do. It's the same story was with the Meraglim. The Meraglim came into Eretz Israel, got out, and told the people, we cannot go in. And the people says, okay, we don't go in. Start crying and thing, and got punished. The next day, a group of people wanted to go in. But Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, you don't go in because God is not with you.
No.
Why? What's wrong? Yesterday, it was a mitzvah. So we want to... To fix it. We want to fix it. We want to do tshuva. What's wrong with it? But that's exactly the idea. Even though to go into Eretz Israel is a mitzvah, yes? Of course.
You've got to do it.
But it's a mitzvah when God tells you to do it. But when God tells you not to go in, it's no mitzvah anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. And here also the same thing. God told Aaron to come and bring a sacrifice. He did what he was told to do. You, the two sons of Aaron, you were not told to do anything. You were not allowed to go in. Why did you go in? So God showed everybody. You don't do what you want to do. You do what God tells you to
do. I rule the world.
Even if it looks holy. And unfortunately, we see it everywhere, all the time. That some people think that if they're at a certain level, so they can do what they want to do. Or they can decide and change laws. But it doesn't work this way. It's like... I was reminded of this story that those two rabbis, true story, I don't remember the names, but going in the streets of Bnei Brak at night. And the street light was lit. And one says to the other one, see how interesting this is. When you get far away from the light, you have a big shade. The closer you get, look what happened to the shade.
The shadow.
And when you go underneath, there will be no shade at all. Mm-hmm. So this is the same way with those scholars. They learn a little Torah. They're so far from the light, but they see the shade they've got from the light. Ooh, we are big people. But then, if you get closer, the closer you get, you realize that you're not so big. You are very small. And when you got underneath the light, you understand that you are nothing. And that's the problem with those who start. They learn Kabbalah, they learn a few words here, a few words there, and they're mekubali. Yeah. They start giving
teaching,
blessing, and things, promising the mountains, and that's exactly the point. You have to understand and realize: the closer you get to God, you understand. That you understand nothing. What did Shlomo HaMelech say? He said Shlomo HaMelech was the cleverest guy of the world. The Torah is telling us that Shlomo HaMelech Chacham Mikol Adam. When he came to Parah Aduma, which going to read on Shabbos, he says, "I got here. I know not that I know nothing." So this is Shlomo HaMelech telling us. You know, I'm now learning for quite a few years a little Kabbalah. And the more I learn, the less I understand.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, and it's not funny. You know, that's the Torah. It's so deep that you cannot even understand and realize it. So the closer you get, you understand how deep it is. But it doesn't mean that we have to stop learning. You know, like this book I was talking about, this God is telling us that we have to keep the mitzvahs. So, okay. But can we keep all the mitzvahs? But that's not what God wants us. He wants us to do what we can do. He says how, for example, this king had a big hole in his garden. You don't see the end of it.
In his what?
A pit, a hole, a big hole. Of,
in his
a
garden?
A ball.
In his garden?
In his garden.
Ah, in his garden.
Garden.
I was wondering.
Yes, in his garden.
I'm scared.
So he said... So he said, please bring me workers to fill up this hole. So he brought workers. They were looking. Some of them look at the hole and says, wow, it's no end. We cannot do this. And they went away. They were stupid. The clever one says, who cares? I'm getting a salary every day. I'm working. I put whatever I can. He says, God is also telling us, I didn't ask you to learn the whole Torah. What I'm asking you is to learn, and you get reward, not for the result.
What you learn.
You're not getting reward for the result. You're getting reward for what you do. In other words, you work for God, you do whatever you can, you get rewarded. It doesn't matter what is the result of what you do, because it depends on your abilities. So if you use your abilities, that's what God wants you to do. So I'll tell a story about the Chafetz Chaim, that he was sitting with his son-in-law, and they were for 3 days discussing a matter to write a certain aloha. Now, 3 days, and the aloha they wrote was 2 lines. So the son-in-law is telling the Chafetz Chaim, that's how he says, look at this. I hope this book is going to be all over Israel, and this is the Mishnah Berurah, and it is all over Israel. And would people understand and realize how much effort did we put in those 2 lines? So Chafetz Chaim laughed and says, who cares? You get rewarded from God. God knows what you did. He says, you know, a few years ago I went to this place in Russia and I saw those workers working and to build the base for the train. And
the real
the infrastructure. So they were have these big rocks and they had to take them down and they were working and harding. And then I heard this guy talking to the other guy. It was a son and a father. He says, Father, look at this. We are working here so hard. And it will take months till the railway is going to be ready and till the train is going to be. Can you imagine to yourself in years to come when somebody is going to ride on this train and go in 2 seconds over this piece of land that we were working for a few months,
they won't even
would he even think about what we put into it? No. So his father answered to him, who cares? The Tsar, our father, he loves us. And he's like, he loves us, the Tsar. Says the Chafetz Chaim, God our Father in heaven, he knows what we do. And he knows exactly how much we put into it. And it doesn't matter what the other guy who read this knows what we put into it. God knows, and God gives us the reward for what we do. And this is a very big lesson to understand. It's not the result. It's the effort we put into things. We want to get closer to God. This is the idea behind it. So, you also have to know how to get close to God. You cannot do whatever you want to do. You have to do what God orders you to do. And that is a very interesting idea of a Yom HaShmini. What is the Yom HaShmini? The 8th day is also, if we count, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi'i,
Shmini.
So Sunday can be also Shmini, the 8th day. So what is the logic here? The logic here is that in order to get to the 8th day, I have to go to the procedure of the 7 days, especially Shabbos. Shabbos gives the power for the next week. So Bayom HaShmini, the Sunday, is a new beginning. The same way on Pesach. You will have 7 days, and then you go out to the normal life. And when you go out to the normal life, what does it mean? What is this whole idea? Is the mission is Pesach? Or the mission is what I do after Pesach? And we talked about it a lot. The mission is not Pesach. Pesach is a power station. It's like we have those phones. They have a battery. They are very sophisticated and getting more and more sophisticated. But one thing, they still didn't find a solution. What do you do with the battery? So you have to recharge the battery. What is the idea of a phone? To connect us. It gets to a level that people cannot connect today without doing it through the phone, unfortunately, which is, of course, not good. But if we look at it as a connection tool, the same way is our life in this world. We have to have a connection all the time with God. But sometimes the battery goes low and we don't feel so connected. So we need a Shabbos, a power station that's going to reload our battery so we can connect ourselves again to God. And that is Pesach, and that is all the Yom Tovi. They are really charging station to recharge our battery in order for us to communicate to God. In other words, the important part is Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini. What do we do b'yom ha-shmini? What do we do after we got the power to connect to God? How do we connect to God? In other words, the idea is not the battery. It's what I do with the phone. It's to connect. Because the battery itself means nothing. But without a battery, I cannot have a connection. So if we look at it this way, we understand also another interesting idea on Vayehi Vayom HaShmini. Otherwise, Vayom HaShmini is also above nature. That's what they say. 7 is nature. 8 is above nature. 10, by the way, is Olam Haba. That's already the Geula. So, that's, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu has got a lot of Az. Az is Aleph and Zayin. Aleph and Zayin is 1 and 7. The 1 is on top of 7. Again, Yom HaShmini, 8. And it's on top of it. In other words, Zayin, the 7 days are this world. The 8 is above this world. It's
that sounds like Kabbalah. Is that Kabbalah?
Yeah. It is what Kabbalah is. But that's a well-known thing. It's not a special secret. It's everybody knows it.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of our sages use Kabbalah. That Kabbalah is a big thing. That you can see in a lot of places when Or HaChaim HaKadosh uses it all the time. The Kli Yakar, a lot of our
Babi Sali.
So, in America, there was a man who made jewelry.
And what's his name?
But he
Hizmi.
He did Kabbalah. Had gone once to the Arab. Yeah.
But also,
and he said he can reach Moshe.
What's her name? The singer.
This is not the Kabbalah that is allow us.
What's her name? The singer.
I must tell you. You have to understand and realize that those who talk like this, unfortunately, know nothing.
Oh yeah.
Because you're not allowed to use practical Kabbalah. Kabbalah Maasid is not allowed to be used. And there are only very few. I think today that maybe can or have the knowledge to do Kabbalah Maasit, which is practical Kabbalah. You're not allowed to use it. It doesn't happen today. You don't have to go there. You have it here all over. One of the things that aggravates me very much is like you see in one of the papers that they give on Shabbos, like they have this guy in Kfar Saba. Al Pia Kabbalah, he gives you Kmeot and all the things. It's no advertisement. You know, it's exactly Kabbalah advertising. I'm a Kabbalist. I'm giving you. There are people looking for solution. People have problems, and they, whatever it is, they try and to do, and people use it. But the real truth is that somebody who talks like this and writes like this, don't believe him. Don't go to him and don't ask him and don't get a blessing from him. Because the real Mekubalim don't talk like this. They're not even allowed to talk like this.
Friend of mine took me to hear him once.
Hizmi?
Yeah.
Boy, he made a lot of money on
it. He's not the only one. There are unfortunately a lot of people that do those things.
His jewelry is beautiful.
If it's beautiful, no problem. Enjoy the jewelry.
That's what I do.
Yes.
A silver key, you know, as a piece of jewelry for the hassle.
So you
can wear it on your thing without carrying, because
in
America there was no air.
The key is to open all your problems.
I don't want to open the problems, I want to close them.
So, talking about the Yom HaShmini, talking about we are now between Purim and Pesach. And one of the things that we always go through is drinking and eating. Eating and drinking. Drinking and eating.
That's
eating
all and drinking. Judaism.
We just now had Purim we were, let's say, told to drink till we get to a level that we don't know the difference between Arur Aman and Baruch Mordechai. Blessed the Mordechai and cursed is Aman. Is this really the idea that people will drink and get drunk and lie on the street and vomit or whatever? Personally, I don't think so. I think that is much more into it. The truth is that if we think about Purim and I want to understand what is the idea of Purim, the whole idea of Purim is what is underneath. In other words, not what we see from outside, what is underneath. That's Megillat Esther. Esther is also hide. Va'anuchi, to hide. La'astir. Va'anuchi aster astir panai. You see, to hide, you can hide, there are two levels of to hide things. And the worst level is when it's hidden again. We have this song, how does it go? Afilu be'yastara, shebetoch ha'astara. You know this song? Well-known song, we were singing it all the whole year, I think, last year. The astara is the hidden thing behind the hidden thing. Afilu be'astara shebetoch ha'astara. In other words, you don't see the truth. It's hidden so well that it's hidden inside and hidden again. And this is the Megillat Esther. Why? When we say Hamelech in the Megillah, Hamelech, who is the king?
Hashem.
Oh, you're talking about
Hashem.
Hashem is not mentioned in the Megillah.
Yeah, but we say about him, really.
So if in the Megillah says Amelech, what does it mean?
Hashem.
No,
God.
No. Hashem.
Hashem. You just made
that's exactly the hidden thing.
Yeah.
Because we call Hashem Amelech HaChashverosh. Yeah. In other words, we don't even see God.
Yeah.
We don't know who is Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is nothing.
God's name is not
That's
mentioned.
Right.
The only king of this world is Melech Malchei HaMelechim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly the idea behind the Megillah. Now look, we disguise ourselves on Purim. In order, when you put a mask on yourself, you don't see who you really are. Or?
People don't see who you really are either.
Or this is the opportunity
to see who you really
to
are.
You, who you really are. For example, kids. When they want to disguise themselves, what would they want to disguise
Superman,
to?
Superman.
To what they want to be.
Yes,
or sometimes to what their parents want them to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, Spider-Man. They reveal on Purim through the custom, through this masecha, through the disguise, they reveal their real will, their real thing that they want to be.
Yes.
The same thing is with the wine. Nichnas yayin, yatsa sod. When wine comes in, secrets come out, and we all know it. We want somebody to tell us the truth. We sit together,
get him drunk,
and then we hear everything we want to hear. So that's why that if your inside is pure and full with Torah, when you drink, what happens? All the Torah comes out. But if you look from
empty.
The outside like a great rabbi, but inside there is nothing.
Yeah.
You tell everybody you're a Kabbalist, but inside you've got nothing. So you wait till it drinks, and then you see the real me, the real guy who is behind all the talking, you will see. So if you've got nothing inside, or even worse, if you have dirt inside, don't drink. Don't drink, because people will realize who you are. By the way, it's well known that all Hasidim used to come to the Rebbe, especially on Purim, and to wait till he gets drunk to hear the secrets of the Torah. Because the Rebbe, he normally through the year, didn't tell them all the Kabbalah things and secrets of the Torah, but on Purim, when he drank, it all came out. So in other words, Purim is all about revealing the truth behind the picture. That's Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther also, if you don't read it in one go, you don't see the miracle. You don't understand the connection between things. And last parsha, by the way, also was a very interesting thing. The most important korban, which what was the most important korban?
Toda.
No. Ola. That it goes all to God, and it is For what? For bad thoughts. Not deeds. Thoughts. And from the other side, the korban that comes, chatat, that comes on deeds, part of it is to Kohanim and part goes to God, which means is less holy than the olah. So what is more important? The thought or the deed?
According to this, the thought.
We would think the deed.
Yeah.
But the Torah is telling us no. The thought. Because who are we without thinking? We are animals. Nothing. Animal works on instinct. We work with our mind, with our thoughts. We think. If you don't think, you're not a human being. In other words, the most important thing is your thoughts. What is inside, not what you show outside. This is the idea. By the way, if you want to bring a sacrifice and you have to eat it day and night, you're not allowed to eat it the next morning. And you have to eat it in a certain place. And let's say you had an intention to eat it in the morning or eat it in a different place. So, the korban is pasul.
That's right.
The korban is no good. Now, eventually, I had the intention, but I ate it at the time, and I also sacrificed it in the right place and in the right time. Now, is the korban kosher or not? The Torah tells us not.
No.
Because you thought wrong, and you thought this, how do you say, pasalta korban? Discriminator?
Cancel.
Cancel.
Yeah.
Not cancel. Okay, let's say cancel. It's not exactly the word. Cancel the korban. There is no korban. And it doesn't matter if afterwards in real life you did what you had to do. By the way, in Purim also a very interesting halacha. When you go from Ra'anana to Jerusalem, for example, let's say if somebody went to Jerusalem on Thursday morning or noon, in the intention to stay in Jerusalem for Friday.
He
has to keep Purim in Yerushalayim also.
Yeah.
Second day. Now, eventually, he didn't stay. In the middle of the night, he went back to Ra'anana. What is now his din? What has he to do? Is he okay? He doesn't have to read the Megillah?
No, he probably still has to do it, no?
He has to read the Megillah, even in Ra'anana. Either he goes back to Jerusalem, or he comes back to Ra'anana, and in Ra'anana he reads the Megillah. So what does it mean?
It's mine. And he speaks.
What?
Someone is calling you.
So we see that this guy, he only thought about staying in Jerusalem, but at the end of the day, he didn't stay. But
his intention was to stay.
Because his intention was to stay, he has to read the Megillah, even if he came back to Ra'anana. Again, what we see, the intention, the thoughts are more important than the deeds. We saw it in the Korbanot. We see it in Purim. So now we understand and realize what the whole idea is. It's not only the thoughts, it's the inside and the outside. And if we talk about this, we can talk about, say, on chometz and matzah.
Yeah.
The same story.
The nullifier of
matzah chometz. Looks great. Matzah looks great. It looks...
Not for me.
But the bread looks great. Huh?
Yeah.
Thick. Tasty. But the real truth is that the bread is not the real thing. What does it mean? It is
inflated.
It's full with nothing. In other words, the matzah, you can take the same quantity of
flour
and water.
Yeah.
And on one side you will have a matzah like this, and on the other side you have something like this. But it was made from the same thing.
And one looks in a completely different.
So what is the idea here? It's also the same thing. You don't look at things how they look from the outside. You want the inside. The inside is the matzah.
I like matzah.
That's the real truth.
Me too.
I like,
me too.
I
eat all the year matzah.
So, So here again we have the same lesson, the same idea that what we see from the outside is not what is from the inside.
What is the real?
What is the real thing? And this is the idea of eating. Why is eating so important in halacha? Really, why is eating so important in our life as Jews?
To make a bracha.
You can make brachas on other things also.
Yeah.
And look after our body.
Yeah.
Everything you say is 100%.
Because the goof is important. Feed the goof.
So?
Because it's a mitzvah to...
When I say, the Rav Pinkus says... Sorry?
I think that I heard once that you eat to have koach to learn. You eat to have strengthness.
I will ask you. I will ask you a question. You pray to God that will give you something. You daven. You give tzedakah. Do you see the results immediately?
No. Lefamim ken.
Mostly not. It takes time. Or sometimes you don't even see it at all. But when you're hungry and tired, and you eat, when do you see the result?
Immediately.
So in other words, when I am tired and angry, I've got a part of my livelihood gone. And when I eat, I get it back. Who gives it to me back?
Hashem.
In other words, eating is a direct connection with God. There is nothing like it. Drinking and eating connects you to God directly because you get a result on the spot.
Because if you can't,
so that's why.
That's why.
So that's why Moshe didn't eat, because he was already connected directly with Hashem before the death.
When didn't he eat? When he went to Hashem.
Yeah. So he was contacted.
He's with Hashem.
Yeah, he doesn't need to eat.
He doesn't need to do anything. No, the idea is for us people to understand the connection to God. How can I really understand that God gives me life? When is the moment that I can feel it? When I eat and drink.
So you live to eat, or you eat to live?
No, you eat to live. You don't live to eat. Unfortunately, some people live to eat. But that's not the idea. The idea is to eat to live.
I say for you, I cannot.
So if you've got a very healthy appetite, that's not good.
I want to be connected with Hashem.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. But the idea is, so now, our sages, the Torah, tells us that we have to understand the relationship between us and God. And what is God for us? He is our Father in heaven, and He gives us life. So the best way of feeling it is through eating.
Well, I know a lot of people.
That's why, if we start looking at all the Yom Tovim we have, we will find out that everything has a certain connection to eating and drinking. By the way, Purim and Pesach, on Purim you have to eat, Sudat Purim, and you have to drink, and Pesach, same thing.
And Shabbos?
Wine, the same thing, again, wine. You have to drink wine on Pesach, you have to drink wine on Purim. In our parsha, the Kohanim are being told not to drink wine. So is wine good or bad?
Depends where.
As we said with the fire, there is good fire and there is bad fire.
Yeah.
It depends what you do. It depends what God tells you to do. In other words, when God tells you to drink, you drink. And God tells you not to drink, you don't drink.
Now, so that's why what is the problem? Drink on Purim.
Yeah. The problem is that drinking sometimes can get to bad results. So everything has to be in the right proportion.
Moderation.
So when we talk about drinking wine, by the way, today also everybody says that drink a glass of wine in a meal is very healthy.
Now they're saying it's not so healthy.
I don't know. I heard that
it's a change now. I just read something.
Maybe the wine changed.
But it's healthy.
But if you drink two bottles of wine, certainly it's not healthy. There, that's no doubt about it.
Just read it the other day.
One cup.
Okay. Eating, the same thing. You have to eat to satisfy your body, and that's it. Not anymore. Now, as you said, you don't live to eat, you eat to live. Unfortunately, some people live to eat.
By the way, the, in this parasha is also the connection. What do you have? You have
we'll get to it in a minute.
Sorry.
That's the end of the parasha.
So
in other words, eating... What was it?
What you said now, that comes from Molière. Molière, the French...
Yes.
Right, said...
to live to eat.
Like, yeah,
yes, okay. ברוך שכיוונתי לדברי גדולים.
Amen.
Anyway, so we see that there is a very interesting connection between eating and connecting to God. And we're talking about connecting to God. That's the whole idea. Now, when we talk about eating, the Torah is also telling us, as in the end of the parasha, what you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. This is also a very interesting point to understand and realize that, yes, that we cannot eat everything we want to eat. You know, when you go abroad especially and you see everybody eats what he wants to eat, and you as a Jew, you're not allowed to eat this, not allowed to eat this, and sometimes you feel very bad about it. But the real truth is, God is telling us, Ki ani Hashem ha-ma'ale etchem eretz Mitzrayim, not motzi etchem. Normally it's written, I am God that takes you out of Egypt. But here it's written, ha-ma'ale, I'm taking you up. I'm elevating you. How do I elevating you? One of the things is through eating. What do I mean? We all know that eating healthy makes you feel good and you're healthy. Eating junk food makes you ill, sick, and sometimes even can cause death. Depends what you eat. So in other words, eating has got a direct influence on your life. As we said, it's not only giving you life, it's also giving you, let's say, a way of living. How you live depends on what you eat. You tell me what you eat, I'll tell you what you are. What do I mean? For example, we have those people that were growing up in a house which were very careful about eating very healthy and delicate things. And from the other side, you have workers that eat what they junk eat food. Now, I always remember this. Once, years ago, we took our children to a restaurant in Herzliya. And we ordered chicken with, what was it? Ananas and fruits and other things.
Chinese
and
restaurant.
Chinese.
No, not Chinese. What was Chinese? What? Anyway, my kids couldn't eat it. They couldn't eat it. They couldn't eat it. For them, a chicken with fruit was not exactly a food for them. At home. Now, from the other side, imagine to yourself somebody who has grown a prince, who has grown in a palace, and he eats only the finest things in the world. That the being checked, they're clean, they're pure, they're everything. And you're taking to one of those worker restaurants, Miss Odet Po'alim, and give him a schnitzel that was like full with oil, that was maybe the second week already being making schnitzel in the same oil. I will give him 2 minutes till he takes it all out or goes to hospital. And from the other side, you see this zlob eating, enjoying every bite.
Right.
And getting stronger and stronger. That's what God is telling us. You are princes. You are my children. You cannot eat everything. You have to eat special food. And this special food gives you power, special power. As we all know, we have to do what you call superfood. Yes, all those amtsaot, all those inventions every minute. But the real truth is, yes, if you eat healthy, you feel healthy. If you, for example, you eat a light dinner, You feel good after the dinner. If you eat a heavy dinner, you feel good. So there's also a connection between the spiritual world and the physical world through the eating. So now we understand that eating is really a very important point in life. More than what we thought. That's why Pesach is around eating. You're not allowed to have chometz. That's the main basic idea of Pesach. And nevertheless, if you eat chometz on Pesach, it's karet. When you eat a chazir, a pig, what is your punishment? Malkut.
Malkut.
That's your punishment. Beating. Chazir.
What? Beating.
Beating, yes. Beating. Yes. And to eat a challah, kosher le mehadrin min ha mehadrin min ha mehadrin.
In Pesach.
Karet. But a week ago, I did a mitzvah with this. So you have to understand that the idea behind it. And again, as we said, when God tells you it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. When he tells you it's not a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. Even if 2 minutes ago, it was a mitzvah. So when Am Yisrael want to go into Eretz Yisrael after God tell them not to go in, it's not a mitzvah anymore. Holy Land. Yes, so what? And when God not allows you to go into Kodesh HaKodashim to bring a sacrifice, you don't go in. Even though Moshe and Aaron went in 2 minutes ago and sanctified the place. And the fire came down from heaven. The same way, Pesach. A week before Pesach, you're not only allowed to eat challah, bread, chometz, you have to eat. But on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat. Doesn't matter how
much. Not only to eat, you cannot even have.
I want to make sure that we understand the idea.
More than eat.
So, we learned today a very interesting lesson. First of all, it's all about connection. And we have to always refill ourselves and to have the power to recharge, to have the power to go on with our connection to God, and even make it better. We saw that the whole idea of the most important thing is what is behind the deeds. It's not what on the outside, what is in the inside. The thoughts are more important than the deeds. Because to do something as a robot means nothing. But to think and do, that's human being. That's what makes the difference. That's why God took us out of Egypt. Ani Hashem ama'aleh etchem el Yisrael. I'm elevating you. How do I elevating you? Through the food you eat. Yes. Because food, as we say, is the direct connection to God. And if you eat the food that God orders you to do, you have the power to worship God in the best way. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.